Jonah means one with a message, or it means one who flies, one who runs away, one who flees. And when I was in my home city of Gethsemane, I was treading grapes with my father when the word of the Lord came to me. Jonah, arise, get up, and go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out to it, for its sins have heard me in heaven. Three imperative commands. It was very easy to understand. Three imperative commands. Get up, go, call out. I knew exactly what the Lord wanted me to do. And being a God-fearing man, I knew I couldn't outrun God. But sometimes sin makes you stupid. So I tried as hard as I can to outrun the will of God. I took the road to Joppa. See, from where our city was, I knew that if I went northeast, I would head to Nineveh. But if I went southwest, I could get to Joppa and commission a boat there with sailors, and I could flee the presence of the Lord. I was Jonah who flees when I should have been Jonah, the messenger. So I ran all the way to Joppa because I did not want the Ninevites to be saved. They were the Assyrian people. They were the worst of the worst. These people had invented ways of doing evil. Yes, Jerusalem was safe behind its walls, but what about my city? A border city. A city who had no way to defend itself. The last time the Assyrians showed up, we all had to flee and run, and anyone who was too old was killed by the Assyrians. They took our women. They took our children. They took my friends and family, and they enslaved them. Or if they were mighty men, my friends who were out plowing the fields, if they were strong men, they would get these big poles and set it outside of our city and fillet a man on that pole. It was so evil and so heinous, we had to invent a word for it. A word you know is crucifixion. They'd fillet men, and when they died upon that pole, they would then throw their heads over the city to remind us who's in power. These were the Assyrians. They were evil people. They weren't just somebody doing some wrong. They were taking our women and children. They were pillaging our towns, and if we didn't pay them, they would come and kill us. Oh, we thought we were safe behind our city walls, but they had engineers who could bring city walls down. We thought we were safe behind our rivers, but they had invented ways of building bridges over rivers, and they could conquer anyone. No one could stop them. And I reminded King Jeroboam II, I reminded him that there were no heroes left in Israel, no one to stand up against them. Just pay what you can to survive. King Jeroboam listened. He paid all that he could, and they always asked for more. More of our children. More of our livelihood. And there was no one in Israel to carry a message of hope because Elisha, the prophet, died. And then God spoke to me. And I knew. That if God had given me a message, it was a message of salvation to the people, and they did not deserve to be saved. They are evil. So I ran. I ran all the way to Joppa. I commissioned a boat to sail me all the way across the world as far as I could get to outrun God. Then I went down into the hold of the boat, hearing the noises of these pagan sailors. I took a nap. I rested. I beat God at His own game. No one in Nineveh is going to hear a message of salvation if I don't proclaim it. Well, some storms come about naturally. But some storms come into your life because you're trying to outrun God's will. Some storms come because you're being disobedient to what God has called upon you. And this storm was from God. This storm came upon the boat and began to shake it and rock it. And I heard the pagans, they were panicking as if they didn't know that God controlled everything. So I didn't say anything. I slept. The storm got worse. And finally, the captain came over to me, kicked me awake, and said, Hey, don't you see the storm? Pray to your God. Maybe your God will relent on us. Said nothing. They were pagans. They didn't have the covenant relationship with God. They were not Jews. They weren't of me. They weren't my family. Who cares if they perished in a storm? I was outrunning God and I had won. Then they started doing what pagans do. It's ridiculous. They got their dice together. They couldn't figure out what the problem was. So they were going to find out which God, as if there were many, which God had brought the storm. They rolled the dice, and I'm laughing away the whole time, rolling dice to determine which God created the storm. The dice landed on me. So I was resting in the bottom of the stronghold, and the captain came, "Hey! Who are you? What is your occupation?" Question I had been fearing. Who am I? What am I supposed to do? And I stood up. I looked at the captain in the face and I said, "I am a Hebrew. I am a servant of the Lord God, the God who made the sea and the land, and I have a message from Him, but I will not proclaim it to you." Captain looked at me and he knew that the storm had come on us because I was disobeying God. But he did something I didn't expect from a pagan. He refused to throw me overboard. "Hey, Jonah, what must we do to appease your God? The storm has come about on you because I am not proclaiming the word of the Lord to the Ninevites. Throw me overboard and the storm will cease." He didn't. He was afraid of shedding innocent blood. This pagan man was afraid. He was pitying my life. So the sailors began to row harder, rowing against the message of the Lord that I had proclaimed. And they rowed and the storm got worse and the boat began to shake. And then the pagans did something that they should never have done. They repented of their sins. They called out to the Lord God and they began to worship Yahweh. Despite the fact that I hadn't even told them that they could have a relationship with Him. And they prayed, "Lord, forgive us of throwing your prophet overboard, for innocent blood will be on our hands." And then they did it. They threw me overboard. And I knew at that moment, I beat God at His own game. You see, I couldn't take my own life. That was against the law. But other men could kill me. And that is what I wanted. I wanted to die so that God's message of salvation would not be proclaimed. I couldn't kill myself. And as I was sinking down in the water, as they overcame my head, I knew I finally had won. I had overcome God. And God spoke again. You see, he had proclaimed a message of salvation to two of his creation. One of them listened. Gigantic fish. I don't know what kind. It was massive. It heard the word of the Lord and it obeyed. Because all creation must obey the word of God. And it swallowed me up. And there I was inside the belly of a fish for 3 days and 3 nights in this cramped air. Yet the Lord had saved me out of the ocean. And I had to wait for 3 days and 3 nights until at last I repented of my sins. And I got around on my knees and I began to pray to God. Oh Lord, my God, when I fell into the depths of hell, when the waves had overcome my head, when at last the seaweed was about my neck and I was destroyed before you, you heard my plea. And from your holy temple you heard it. And Lord my God, I promise, I vow to you that I will sacrifice that which is due to you, for you have saved me from the pit of despair. And from your holy temple you heard. Therefore I will proclaim, salvation belongs to the Lord. And at that moment, when I realized that salvation belongs to God alone, the fish vomited me out. And there I was at the crossroads. And God spoke to me again. Jonah, son of Amittai, get up. Go to Nineveh, that great city. And call out against it the message that I'll tell you. I wasn't afraid of the Assyrians, but I feared God. And despite the fact that I didn't want any of them to hear the message of God, I obeyed. I took the road to Nineveh. Nineveh is a great city. It had about 120,000 people in it. It took 3 days to go around the entire city, and I would go a day's walk at a time proclaiming the message of God. I would go before them fully expecting that these are the most evil people. They're not going to repent of their sin. But reluctantly, I did. I got up. And I called out, repent, for the Lord your God has seen the sins of the city of Nineveh, and he will destroy this city in 40 days unless you call upon the name of the Lord. And I would travel another day and go another day around the city, and the commoners began to hear the message. And I would proclaim again, repent! For in 40 days the Lord will receive you and destroy this city, for your sins have come to him. And the nobles began to pick it up. And on the third day going about the city, I proclaimed once again his message, repent, for the kingdom of God is coming, and in 40 days this city will be destroyed. And then King Esarhaddon, king of Assyria, the man who had written an inscription above his history. I was out in the city. I saw it. Standing outside their museum, there a statue of the king and inscribed on it, I have impaled men upon the pole. I have filleted their skin like a tanner. I have cut off the hands of the Hebrews. I plucked out their eyes. And I am the greatest king of all time. There is no God more powerful than me. there proclaimed on his statue the murder of my own people. And this king, he came down from his throne and he bent his knee. He tore his clothes in sackcloth and ashes and said, God, forgive me of my sins. And the entire city was awakened to the Lord and they called out to Yahweh and they fasted and they prayed. And it was terrible. It was the worst thing ever. And I became exceedingly angry at the Lord. You did this! You knew that they would repent if I went. I knew that you were a Lord of mercy and that you were slow to anger. And I knew that if I proclaimed this, these people would repent. They do not deserve you. They do not deserve your love. Jonah, do you do well to be angry? Yes! I do well to be angry! You are supposed to be a God of justice! What about my friends? What about your children? What about the women they dragged away? What about all of their sins, God? What about my children? What about your children? I went outside the city and I sat against the wall and I was angry at God because he saved people who were killing my family. And I waited. The sun grew hot and beat upon my head, but it only increased my anger against God. And one night, he sent a kikayon, a plant, to cover my head. And I knew finally God had heard me. He was saying, just wait your 40 days, Jonah, just wait. I'll protect you in the shade and you can watch the city being destroyed like Sodom and Gomorrah. And I was exceedingly happy for a day, for the Lord God has heard my cry to destroy the city. But he had another messenger, a tola. Tola is a worm, not much longer than an inch, but it's an important worm to my people. It's a worm that when you crush it, its blood runs a deep red that dyes garments. It became a symbol of a messenger from God that if you sacrificed it by its blood, you could have something important. You know the tola. You've heard the psalm. O Lord, my God, I am no longer a man, but I am a worm before you, for my body has been crushed and my body has been flayed out before you. Hear my cry. You have a hymn, don't you? For such a worm as I. This worm, a servant of God, ate my kikayon, and it withered in the night. And I realized God was setting me up again. And I was exhausted by the sun. And finally, the Lord spoke to me again, the fourth time. Jonah, do you do well to be angry? Yes, Lord, I do well to be angry over this plant. Jonah, if you do well to be angry over a plant which you did not plant, that came up in one night and died the next night, if you pity that plant, should I not pity 120,000 people in my city who do not know their left hand from their right. That's the question you have to ask yourself today. Does God do right to save people who do not deserve to be saved? But I'm glad you can hear the story of Jonah, because there is no difference between a man who shuts his mouth and runs and a person who sits day in and day out and doesn't proclaim the message of God. Because you have three imperative commands, not from just God, but from Jesus Christ. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three imperative commands that will define whether you're Jonah the messenger or Jonah who flies. When was the last time you were Jonah the messenger? When was the last time you actually spoke a message of salvation to someone who's lost? How many times have you taken the road to Joppa instead of the road to Nineveh? Where is my Nineveh? Nineveh is any place, any person, any lost soul that you know does not deserve salvation. That you know that is the worst and most awful person in the world, and I would rather die than proclaim a message to them. But here you are in Somerville, and you have a chance to be the messenger or to fly. And that's why at our church, we continue to talk about save the lost. Because we have the same thing that he was told to Jonah, the same imperative commands. Get up, go, proclaim the message of God of salvation unto the world. And you have an opportunity this week to train in evangelism. And you have an opportunity next week to proclaim the message to teenagers in Somerville. And you have to make a choice. Will I take the road to Joppa? Or will I follow him to Nineveh? Will I cry because the city that God gave me is in pain? But understand, Christian, that because we have this command from God, that if we will not obey it, some storm come on us because of disobedience. And the only thing you can do is cry out to God and ask him to forgive you. But the same God who's merciful at you, with you in your lowest depths, is the same God who is merciful with the lost. Let's go this week and be his hands and his feet and his mouth. Proclaim the message of salvation that he has given to you. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, and let's baptize a new believer in this baptistry, having fulfilled the calling of God. So I'm going to call a time of response. Don is going to come up, and he's going to lead us in a song. But if you need to repent of being Jonah who flies, and commit to being Jonah the messenger, if you need to stop running from proclaiming God's word today and you need to commit to saving one, then get in your mind just one person who needs salvation. Pray for them here and now, and then this week, tell them the good news.